football fans, and welcome to the CBFA podcast with your hosts, James Parks and Cole Fortner.
All right. Well, we are getting down to the nitty-gritty. Playoffs are well underway, and we've got our first final. Our Div 3 final matchup is set. We had some interesting games in the snow last night. First of all, let's start with greetings,
welcome.
Guys.
Yeah, welcome to the first time welcome on the podcast.
That was like the soft intro of soft intros.
The foreshadowing is all you needed.
Right. So, yeah, joining Cole and I tonight are Kevin and Grant Stefanowski once more. Thanks for joining us, guys. Kevin, why don't you start us off with talking about last night's games?
Well, I mean, yeah, it was cold. So, and with cold and snow comes a slippery ball. Like in the first game, I think there was about like a dozen times the ball like slipped or like was fumbled just because of the conditions. So, but other than that, I mean, like the Hilltoppers and Chiefs, it was a pretty good game for the first one.
Yeah,
like, I mean the Chiefs had, you know, the edge, but the Hilltoppers they were fairly solid. But the Chiefs they could have had more than 30, but they had three touchdowns taken back because of penalties. So
right.
It's a shame for like the effort that some of the players put in just to have the touchdowns taken back. So.
Yeah, actually, I think they could have had a fourth, but Chiefs running back Xander Alaric recognized that his team was going to get flagged, and he ended up just sliding. He went down at the 40 because he didn't want to make the effort, and all for naught. I think he already got burned by that a couple of times. But yeah, the Chiefs ended up taking care of business in that one. 30-13 was the final score. Xander Alaric was the big game. Like I thought the highlight for me that stood out was on Xander's, I think it was his second or third touchdown when he hurdled a player at the 10-yard line before running the rest of the way in. It was a great run, just amazing. And for the Hilltoppers,
these guys are too young to know how to hurdle a player in the mid play,
right? You'd think so, but I saw it. It happened. It was amazing. It was great.
It's too bad we're not doing Gordy's play of the week throughout the playoffs.
Right?
Well, that would have won for sure.
Easy
winner.
That
would have won for sure.
In the second game last night, the Mavericks took on the Rebels and predictably came away with a victory. Mavericks winning this one 43-0. But what stood out for me was the Rebels, as Grant had pointed out a few weeks ago, they didn't quit. They played the whole game. They were going with their backup quarterback, Christopher Ireland, who he did throw, you know, a couple of picks, but he also made a really nice long completion. It was the longest completed pass of the night in the snow. And it was cold and it was snowy. And every touchdown scored was a running play. Every single one. But that was the longest pass play completed. So I thought that was really good. Yeah. And the Mavericks' usual suspects came through in the backfield. Their 1-2 punch of Civitrice and Agdemar were undeniable.
Yeah, I guess it's a disappointing end to the season for the Rebels, but you know, I think there's a lot of good things in their future, and this feels almost like talking about the Mavericks last year. The Mavericks had a tough rebuild year last year, and I think they're a much improved team this year, and same thing. I think they just get better.
Yeah, I think you're right there, Grant, for sure. Future looks pretty bright. So that sets up the Division III final, which goes Saturday, November 4th at 10 a.m. at Hellard Field. The Chiefs taking on the Mavericks in that one. So in the other games that happened Saturday, the Division I and II, I went through the I did talk to Bill Monks about it, and got some update from him, as well as looking at the score sheet. He said the Colts were pretty much decimated by injuries. They didn't have their star QB Nash Marzoff, and the Stamps played a really, really solid game. He said they were full measure for the win. So Stampeders move on to the Division I semis, and the Colts move on to the Division II semis.
Yeah, because what it seemed from the two morning games between the Colts and the Raiders in their respective games was going back a week to their game in Airdrie, it seems like a lot of their players on both sides were injured, especially Colts quarterback Nash Marzoff. Now, during the game, yes, it did look like Nash took a bit of a hit, but it was hard to tell how severe it was. And obviously it was severe enough for him to not be playing in it. But yeah, just a big blow to the Colts.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to overcome a loss like that, for sure. In the other morning game, the Bulldogs took on the Raiders. And that was a low-scoring defensive battle.
Yeah.
And the Raiders came out on top of that one.
I watched that one from the sidelines. That one was definitely a defensive battle between the two teams. There was a bit of a scary moment that we had with one of the Raiders players getting injured. And just kind of an scary incident around it. But fortunately, we do have people that are equipped to help and manage all of that stuff and to pick up on when players have possible concussions, including myself, because coaches and stuff have to do certain programs every single season. Other than that one scary incident, it was actually a really good battle between both those teams, and it was just defenses came out on top for sure.
Yeah, so the Raiders win that one 15-0. And the Raiders move on to Division I semis, and the Bulldogs move to Division II. We'll get into the matchups later, of course. The Bulldogs seem to be on the right trajectory, even though they lost this one. I think they're in pretty good shape going into the Division II playoffs. I think they've been improving steadily as the season's gone on.
I think they should be. I mean, you can't rule anybody out of the Division II playoffs, but I think Bulldogs should be strong contenders.
I think there's a lot of fantastic Div 2 matchups that are about to come up. And I think there's a lot of good places, and I'll kind of give a shout out to coaching staffs. I saw the Bulldogs' first two games of the season, and my thought process was, oh boy, long season. They literally just get better every week. I think it's a great coaching staff. I think they've done a really good job with the players they have and adapting their game plan to the type of players they have. And to only have the Raiders put up 15 points on them, that's an impressive feat.
Yeah, definitely a team to watch out for in the Div 2 semis. The afternoon games featured The Lions taking on the Wildcats, with the Wildcats coming out on top of that one, 56-12.
I mean, the Lions did score first. They had a beautiful 86-yard passing touchdown to open up the scoring. And then it kind of didn't really go to plan, I think, after that point in time. I mean, the fact that one of their players, it didn't really go to plan. However, on defense, it did, because one of their players, Levi Davis, ended up getting their player of the game, ended up having like three interceptions in that damn game, despite the fact that the Lions offense couldn't really get much going. It's not very often that you see the team that gets blown out have four interceptions with one player getting three of them. Yeah. I think the Lions can take positives from that side of the game, heading into their Div 2 semifinals next week. But I don't know how much the ball is going to be thrown next weekend if the snow sticks around.
Right. Is it going to warm up enough to melt all the snow? I don't think so. I think it's supposed to snow some more.
But the weird thing is, in that one, you mentioned that all of the touchdowns were runs in yesterday's games. All but one were passing touchdowns in that Lions-Wildcats game. The only one that wasn't was a one-yard QB sneak, which we also don't usually see that many passing touchdowns in the game either.
No, but between the Wildcats' two quarterbacks, they do tend to throw the ball a lot more than other teams.
Yeah.
It seems like, anyways, to me.
Yeah, the question is just, does that hurt them over, you know, on the weekend?
Yeah, can they adapt to the weather? We'll see.
I mean, they do have running backs too, so.
And in the final game of the afternoon, the Eagles took on the Cowboys. And although the Cowboys basically put this one away early, the Eagles were starting to come back in the second half. But the game was already pretty much out of reach when they started scoring.
Yeah, Cowboys had, because they had that one really long one, that 78-yard passing, or sorry, rushing touchdown to start it off. And then it kind of got a little lopsided, especially when they started the second half with an 83-yard punt return touchdown. But after that point, it was basically like shot for shot for the offenses. Like, one team would go down and score, the next one would come up the next drive, or the next, you know, a drive or two later and answer, and then the other team would come back a drive or two later and answer back. And it was the second half was really fun and interesting. It was just like back and forth scoring touchdowns, but again, by that point it was already gone.
I don't feel that score in that game was indicative of how that game actually went. All the momentum started off with the Eagles in that game. And I mean, all the momentum. And had they not fumbled on the 4-yard line on their first drive, there was two moments in that game that I think really changed the momentum of the game and let the Cowboys run away with it in the first half. And I agree with Cole's comment that in the second half, it was a much closer game. But their first drive, the Eagle came out, stuffed the Cowboys, drove the ball down on a very good defense, and fumbled. Had they not fumbled on the 4-yard line and had they scored, I think the whole complexion of that game changed. And then you had another scary moment there where a young man got injured and an ambulance had to come for him. So that was a delay in the game. And I will give a shout out to our local EMS. They were there very quick.
Yeah.
They're very, very good once they get there.
It was a lot quicker than the first call.
Yeah. I'm proud of the services we have in Calgary, and I think they did a phenomenal job with the young man. And yeah, Luckily there was a parent on the Eagles team, who I believe was EMS, just off duty watching his son play. And between him, the amazing staff we have to help him, as Cole said earlier, I think it was good. But right after the young man got carted off the field, and I wish I remembered his name because he was also going to get a select letter yesterday. And unfortunately, that'll be the end of his season because his knee was on the wrong side of his leg.
Yeah.
Right after that, the Eagles kicked off. The Cowboys kicked off and the Eagles forgot to cover the kickoff.
And oh, yes, Cowboys, that play.
Cowboys player just ran down and jumped on the ball. It was a 35-yard onside kick, more or less. And I just think the players weren't reset yet and ready to go. And between the fumble and that incident, which happened almost on back-to-back drives, that just changed the entire momentum of that game. I think the Cowboys quarterback, Caleb Anderson, had probably the best game I've seen him have all year. I've seen a couple of their games, and his passes were phenomenal. And I think in the third quarter, I said, he just hasn't missed a target. Right after that, he threw the worst pass I'd ever seen. But, you know, other than that one play, I think had one of the best QB games I've seen this year. So congratulations to him. And then just the tools he had around him. Their running back is always a horse when he runs, but... Cole, I think you said he had a, 74-yard touchdown run?
78, but yeah.
No, well, my bad.
Close enough. Xander Adenio.
Yes, excellent running game. And then their receiver, Arlane, not the biggest guy on the, not the biggest guy on the field, but I want to know how much stickum they're spraying on this kid's hands because he doesn't drop passes. He made some absolutely terrific athletic catches. And it's not even a 1-2 punch they have. They have a 1-2-3-4-5-6 punch on offense and then some absolute brutes on defense, who make it very difficult for other teams. But on the Eagles side, I think Daniel Bowers has got to be one of the best running backs in our league. And I really enjoy watching him play. And again, without those couple miscues and unfortunate incidents in the first quarter of the game, I really do feel we would have had a very different football game. Not to take anything away from the Cowboys win because they came to play and they were strong. But I think the Eagles were there to play as well and had some nice plays.
Well, who's it that made that one-handed, like Odell Beckham catch? I don't remember if it was that game or if it was the game before.
No, it was that game. It was a, I want to say it was a defensive catch too.
No, it was an offensive catch.
It was an offensive catch?
Yeah.
I do remember. I'm trying to remember who it was.
It was like in like double, if not triple coverage, too.
Yeah, it was an amazing catch. Was it not called back, though, the play? Felt like it was all for naught. But yeah, I'm with you. It was a heck of a
catch. Regardless.
Yeah. Thank God for age and bad memories because I can't remember any of the players, but felt good at the time.
We'll also add back to the Eagles injured player. I do believe he came back to the field, to the park. You know, I mean, he was on crutches, but he came back and Bill was there and made sure he was all right. And he was in pretty good spirits. So I think that was pretty cool to see.
Well, with the amount of laughing gas they gave him, we asked if we could use some if they had extras, but Apparently, it's only for injured people.
Well, the timing is unfortunate because it's right before select tryouts start. So,
yeah,
season ending for sure, even if it's not all that serious, and we hope it isn't.
Yeah, I certainly hope it's not. He was an excellent lineman, and again, looking forward to seeing him in the selects tryouts, but maybe another time.
Okay, so looking ahead to our games this week, we have the Colts playing the Eagles. Last time they met was in week 3. The Colts actually won that one, 22-8. Then we have the Bulldogs and Lions. Last time they met was week 6, where the Bulldogs kind of ran away with that one. Final score was 52-0. For our Div 1 semifinals, we have the Raiders and the Wildcats. Last time they met was the only time we've had a tie this season and last couple seasons. They were level after the 4 quarters at 20 apiece. And then our final game of the day, the high seed Cowboys will take on the Stampeders. Last time they met was week 7. Cowboys won 24-0. Now, Grant, 50-50 selects. What do you got?
Let's just burn through the whole podcast.
Yeah, I nailed it right there.
The 50-50 has been, well, I'll let you guys talk about the games first.
What do you mean? I just did.
Oh, did you? The 50-50 has turned into, I feel it had a rough start through the final weeks. I think the winner's been taking home over $1,000 a week for the last 2 weeks. So I think that's been terrific. And, you know, in terms of selects in general, everyone got their letters this week. Our 78 hopefuls coming to try out. First tryout is on November the 5th. And it's going to be an exciting year. I think we have 78 hopefuls. I know that sounds weird to say. You have 550 players roughly in the league. Only 78 of them get an invite. But typically, because this is a select trip, not an all-star trip, you typically, there's 30 of the 80 typical selects that you can see very quickly once you're practicing against these other selects that just can't cut that level, even though they are select invites. I think this year is going to be a very difficult selection process. And again, I'll emphasize it's a select trip, not an all-star trip, meaning if we're looking for a strong safety, it's not just safeties we're looking at for that position. That strong safety could be a linebacker, could be a tight end, could be a running back, could be a quarterback. We just look at the best athletes we can take and who will fit that position that they're going to have to fill a role in down south the best. So I'm getting ready to say goodbye to my family for a month. We only have a handful of days off in November. And every night we're going. So it's a very intensive process. It's very tough for the players. They have very few practices to adopt a brand new offense and run it at a high level. So we don't waste any time in 2 tryout days. But once practices start, we start inserting the offense immediately. It's a high learning curve. It's exhausting, but it's exciting as well, because the improvement you see from practice one to our last practice before we depart is night and day difference. We go to Vegas with a functioning football team at a very high level, so that's the exciting part of it.
That is really exciting. I always love this time of year, not just because it's playoff time, but because I always look forward to hearing about what the selects are doing and how they measure up against the international competition. And they always seem to exceed expectations, which is incredible. It's awesome.
It's always an interesting process.
You're not playing our, you know, the Canadian rules, are you, down there?
No, we play U.S. rules. 11 men on the field, not 12. The biggest adjustment on the offensive side of the ball is no motion.
Yeah.
Any motion you have in an American game can only be away from the line of scrimmage. And having no motion, especially for running backs and receivers, where at the snap of the ball, if they're towards the line of scrimmage, cannot budge. Luckily, our phenomenal reffing association, we're bringing two of our referees with us to Vegas this year, which I'm very excited about. I would love for them to be able to ref our games as well, just as an experience. I don't think that'll happen, but what they've offered to help us with in our tryouts is to be refs in our tryouts and ref an American style for us, which is so beneficial to our players in understanding, you know, that illegal motion. And that's the biggest thing we fight in that game. And again, these players have to adapt to this style of playing in a hair over 2.5 weeks. It is very difficult to do. And thankfully for the refs, they're going to come to all our practices. They're going to come down with us, be part of the trip. And I think it just adds so much value to an already valuable trip to have that support from our referees association. So I'm super proud of the league, the association, the select program. And it's hard to believe it keeps getting better, but it keeps getting better.
Well, how many games are played while you guys are down there?
We play 3 games.
Okay.
We only play 2 tournament games, but we always play an exhibition game to begin. And without fail, the biggest eyes you'll ever see in your life are the first half of that first game. We typically end up playing an Alaskan team for the first game. And the first time the players see or experience someone flying through the air 2.5 feet off the ground, completely horizontal, and hitting you right before 3 other players hit you simultaneously. It's a level of play and a level of contact that you just don't see here. But they're going to see it down there. And we can't emphasize enough the physicality of the football. But for any parents who think their kid is going to play pro football, which if they're like most parents, most do, this is the biggest eye-opener. This is a level of play that you just, I would challenge the fact you'd see this level of play in junior football and high school for the most part, maybe in a championship game, but that would be it. This is absolutely terrific football to watch, to be a part of, and to measure yourself in how good you think you might be. And again, I'm extremely proud of the program Greg Peterson runs and CBFA, Ron Logan put this thing together. I was on the very first selects team during an unnamed year. I won't age myself right now by telling you what year that was, but
1972. I'm just kidding.
Oh, come on.
I said, I'm kidding.
These young bastards. Sorry, edit that out. I was elected in 1989. And back then we went to New Orleans, to get the pulp beat out of us. Things have adapted, and I not only think the CBFA and Calgary represents our league well, but we represent Canadian football well. because we've had success. We've won the tournament a couple times, and we get a lot of attention down there. You know, we're just called the Canadians. There are a few more Canadian teams starting to come down, but we can compete. And it takes a gut check from all these kids. But it's a life-changing trip for them, because what I've seen these kids go on and do after being a part of that select experience, and Greg gives them an experience that they'll not see until they get to college. That'll be the closest thing they have to experiencing anything like what gets put on. And Greg, growing up and playing football in Calgary, going on to play football at BYU and being very successful at it, played in 3 bowl games. The experience he offers these boys is similar to his experience at those bowl games. And as a coach, you know, this will be my seventh time with the Selects. It's special every time. And it's awesome to see the look on the kids' faces, how you see them change from the time we land in Las Vegas to the time we leave. And then seeing the parents, we invite the parents to come to our film session every night and, you know, hear maybe some not so good things about how the play happened during that day, but some good things as well. And I think the understanding that gives everybody is what makes it life-changing, because you adapt so much to the thinking part of the game and the learning part of the game from a physical level, but from a mental level, what you need to do to be better, you know, the sacrifices you have to make to, to succeed at a high level, whether it's your diet, your sleeping, your preparation. They get all this experience in a 6-day period. So it's a phenomenal event.
It's fantastic. And again, to support this program, you can get your 50-50 tickets through the website links, social media links, or come down to the park on Saturday and get your tickets in cash. This particular draw will not be drawn until city finals on November 4th. So there's some time to get your tickets, and there's some time to help build up the payout at the end. So
that's going to be a big payout.
It should be. Yeah, the last one was a little over 1600 in a couple of weeks of building. So yeah, this one's 1 week longer. It should be over 2K. That's a good prize. That's big bucks. On that note, so we've got really, really amazing matchups coming up this Saturday. Please get out to Shoal Dice Park and support these kids, these teams. These are probably the most even matchups we've had for a full slate of games in a day, all season long. The Colts and the Eagles, even though the Colts won in week 3, I think the Eagles are a much improved team since then, and the Colts are fighting injuries. So, you know, you can't just say, well, the Colts beat them before, they're going to win again. It's not happening. And I think all the matchups are going to be close. So,
well, it's not only that, but it's also, what is the weather going to be like on Saturday, and how does that impact what teams are going to do going ahead? Because, you know, they're practicing right now, it's minus, I don't know, whatever, and it's cold and snowy, but by Saturday, you know, it could be bone dry, right? Like it's unpredictable this time of year what the weather's even going to be doing. So who knows what's going to happen on the weekend. None of us can predict what's going to happen.
No, but according to our handy little weather widget on the website. Saturday's looking like it's going to be overcast, but fairly warm. 1 degree above zero for a high on Saturday.
Ooh.
And we're not
shorts
looking
only,
at
boys. Shorts only.
And on that note, let's wrap it up for another episode. Thanks, guys, for joining us. And we will see you down at Shoal Ice Park on Saturday.
The CBFA podcast is brought to you by longtime Players of the Game sponsor, Wolf Cadillac Calgary. Check out their selection of new and used vehicles online at www.wolfcadillaccalgary.com or in person at 1720 Barlow Trail Southwest. And game day wouldn't be the same if not for Superfan Snacks. They're located near the plaza area of Shoal Ice Park. Superfan Snacks proudly supports minor football at every level. Find them on Facebook. Thank you for listening. Thank you.